ready. Good morning. So welcome to worship at Little Sitar. Thanks, Pam, for our beautiful music. That was very worshipful. It gets you in a good frame of mind as we come together to worship. In way of announcements, if you have an announcement that you need to make, I guess you can make your way forward. I have two announcements that have been given to me, and I know there's a bunch in your bulletin, so please look through your bulletin as well. Today is the last day to let missions and evangelism team know if you are interested in attending a CPR certification or recertification training program that would be set up here at church. We would be bringing someone in to lead that. And there would be a fee for the course, somewhere between $30 to $40 per person, but there are funds available that would help to reduce that fee. So if you're interested in such a course, find in your bulletin a tear-off sheet that you can fill out, put your name in it, and put that in mailbox number 153. The second announcement will be for those who are interested in participating in the exercise class. That will be beginning tomorrow morning at 8:45 in the fellowship hall. And all you need to bring with you tomorrow is a water bottle. I guess the water will be supplied, but you could bring your own if you want to. Any other announcements, Pam?
Testing. I just want to highlight that next Sunday morning for worship, there will be one worship service here at Little Sitar. It will be at 8:15 a.m. because of the bicentennial celebration in Bethel. The community is having a community worship at 10:30 a.m., so we would like to encourage you to join us here for worship at 8:15. Sunday school will be abbreviated and we'll be letting out at 10:15, so that you can all plan to join us then over at 10:30 at Bethel at the Grove by Dwight Miller's Auction House. Thanks.
Thanks. Burl has an announcement.
We got home late last night to a phone message stating that the Clothing Free Be-a-thon is going to be moved to October 24th and 25th. So now you have a lot more time to sort through your closets. There's a conflict with the timing at Salem Lutheran where the Free Be-a-thon is normally held. So we got a message saying they want to move it to the 24th and 25th of October. There will be further information in the newsletter.
Love Feast, very good. We would love to see everyone attend Love Feast on October 5th. It's going to be family style this time, so your families will be able to sit together at the tables, and then the men and the women will be dismissed separately to different rooms for the feet washing aspect. And I know for many of us, if you've never been to a Love Feast, that can be a little uncomfortable. So feel free, even if you don't want to participate in the feet washing part of it, to come anyway and just observe if you would prefer to do that. But we would love to have everyone come to Love Feast and be part of that significant tradition of the Church of the Brethren, as part of the Church of the Brethren. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements at this time? I don't see anyone raising a hand. Please open your hymnals, number 3. Oh, actually, not in your hymnals. Sorry about that. It'll be on your screen, and number 3 in the little sheet. Open the eyes of my heart.
Thank you.
At this time, we invite you to share in the joys and concerns you would have to give to the remainder of the congregation that we can join in prayer. From the first service, we had Tim Reinhardt is going to be, he's been measured actually for his prosthesis. I always have trouble saying that word, but that's an exciting time for him, but he does have a bit of anxiety over that, so we want to keep Tim in your prayers. Gerhardt has been moved to the rehabilitation center, so Gerhardt has fluid on his lungs, so he's continuing to nurture after his surgery as well. So we want to keep Gerhardt in prayer. And there was a five-month-old little girl who was diagnosed with cancer of the liver, and her name was Parker from the first service. And I also received a prayer request this morning for Jenna Gagliano. She's been having serious asthma problems. She went to work this morning, but cautiously went to work, and we just want to keep her in prayer. It's something she has struggled with in the past, but it's come up again, and we want to just continue to lift up Jenna. So any other prayer requests this morning? Or joys as well. It's always a joy to be here with all your beautiful faces.
Let's pray for the unspoken prayer requests. They're most of the time more important than the spoken ones.
Thank you. All right, let's turn to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather in this beautiful church, Little Sotara. We know across the world there are those that are fleeing for their lives, brothers and sisters in Nigeria, and we pray your hedge of protection over them. Lord, we pray that you would go in front of them, that you would prepare their way as they maintain such a bold faith. We're encouraged by that, Lord, but we do pray for the concerns that they have. And Father, we thank you for the freedom that you provide to each of us as we seek to surrender daily in our lives to follow you more closely, as we look to accomplish your will in our lives. Father, just help us to know that you are indeed in control. And we think of Gerhardt, we think of Tim, we pray your continued blessings upon them as Tim prepares for his prosthesis to be installed. Lord, we ask that your hands would be upon that procedure, that it would function properly, he would be able to go to normal functionality as quickly as possible. And we think of Ryan and the ability he has had to recover from his accident and going back to work in his own apartment again, and we're just so thankful for the way you continually hear our prayers and you answer them accordingly. And we lift up Jenna in a very special way this morning, struggling with a serious asthma attack, Lord, and just pray that your hand of healing would be upon her, Lord, that you would just allow that to pass and just allow her asthma to be under control and just nurture her as she's at work even now and just allow her to make it through that time. And we just pray your just anointing over her, Lord, and your blessings to flow through her. And we think of those unspoken prayer requests, Lord, and ask that you would just minister to us, Lord. You know us more than we know ourselves, and we are thankful for that. And we just pray that you would just allow our hearts to be exposed before you as we go into a time of silent prayer, confessing those things that we have done wrong this week and ask for your forgiveness, and those things on our hearts, Lord, that you know very well, but we just lift those up during those times, this next time of silent prayer. Father, there's such an indescribable feeling to know that you are with us in this life. Father, we all go through stressful times, we go through trying times, health concerns, things that seem to be spinning out of control, yet we know that we can turn to you and
You've already figured it out for us. So, Lord, this morning we just turn to ourselves and we examine ourselves, wondering what areas of our lives are we holding on to that we need to just let go and let you move. So, Father, we just pray that during this service you would just allow our hearts to be open, allow our minds to be open, to be able to go in the direction that you're calling us. Father, just thank you for each one. I pray abundant blessings upon them. I pray blessings upon their extended families, those that can't be here this morning. Lord, you are good, and your mercies are available all the time. So we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for the way that you meet us right here in this place and through the rest of our days here on this earth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time for us to bring our offerings to present to God for his use. This week I heard a lesson on gratitude, and it's something that is part of where our giving comes from. Our giving comes from our gracious, our thankful hearts out of the way God has so wonderfully supplied our needs and provided for us, and we're returning back a portion of what he has given us so that the church can use this, so that God can use those funds to do the work of the church here. So the gratitude lesson is something that we can learn. So if you're not feeling gratitude, you're not feeling that thankfulness, it is something that we can learn. It's something that we can develop. It's something that we teach to our children when we're raising them. So if you're not feeling that gratitude, don't give up. You can learn. That is something that you can learn. So let's bow our heads as we prepare to give our offerings. Dear Lord, we thank you for the way that you supply our needs so wonderfully, and we thank you for gratitude, for that feeling of thankfulness that we can have. And we thank you for the ability to learn and to grow. Again, Lord, we want to return a portion of what you give us to you for your use. We pray that you bless us as we give and bless us as we receive. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are my soul.
This morning to come up for this morning's children's moment. We're going to see if we can get a new friend I want you guys to meet awake. So he's been sleeping in this pulpit for all morning, so we'll see if Simon's his name, and we'll see if he'll wake up. Simon, are you going to join us this morning?
I don't want to join you. I just want to sleep.
Simon, come on. Really?
Oh, all right. All right. Do I have to meet these boys and girls, though?
Yes, you have to meet the boys and girls, Simon. Oh, he is one tough cookie to wake up. You guys can take a seat right there on the steps. That would be awesome.
Oh, would you just let go of my head already?
Well, I've got to hold your head to control you. You're kind of out of control without my...
Oh, here he comes. Oh, boy. He's got
some wild hair this morning. What do you think? He does not want to meet Simon. Don't worry, Simon's friendly. Right, Simon?
Yeah, I'm friendly, all right.
He still has a frog in his throat, you hear that? So Simon wants to talk to you guys this morning about priorities.
Do you guys know what priorities are?
No. Do you guys know what a priority is?
No.
You don't know what a priority?
I don't.
You want to shake his hand? Here, Simon says hi. You want to shake his hand, too? See, he's friendly.
I just needed to wake up. I'm okay now.
So priorities are those things that we need to line up in our lives, those things we need to kind of say A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3, 4. And if we're thinking about priorities in our lives, what do you think would be the number one priority that we should have?
4.
4 would be our priority? Okay. 4 could be our priority if number 4 happens to be someone in particular who should be very important to our lives. The reason we come here this morning.
Oh, I know. I know.
Do you think we should ask Simon?
Yeah.
Simon, what should be our number 1 priority?
God.
Did you hear what he said?
God.
God, right? So if we put God as our number 1 priority in our life, what would that look like? Being free. Did he say free? I don't know if he said free or not, but, oh, 3. Well, it would also be, give me 5, man. That was really cool. It would be like being free, because when we have God first in our lives, we feel very free.
Very free indeed. So number 1 in our lives should be God.
Do you agree? Do you agree with him? Do you agree with Simon? Simon, are you sure? Are you sure, Simon?
Yes, I'm 100% sure.
So our challenge this morning, as little boys and girls, as we live the rest of our lives, is to put God first in our lives. Even when we wake up first thing in the morning, we should even say, God, help me to do what you want me to do this day, so that our priorities will line up with his plans for us. Does that sound pretty cool?
I think it's really cool.
So Simon's really excited to meet you guys this morning.
I hope you guys have a really great day.
All right, let's pray. Simon, are we going to pray?
Yes.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your love for these children, for each of us here. We just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to choose to put you first in our lives. So, Lord, we pray for these dear children, Lord, that you would just help them to seek after you, that their mommies and daddies, their grandparents would show the way of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for each one and the blessings that they bring. And it's in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for coming up. Say bye, Simon. Should we put him back to sleep? Let him go back to sleep? Okay.
Just never know what's going to happen, right? This is a time for the reading of the scripture lesson. I'm hoping it's on the screen and that I can read it. I think I'm going to read it from up here because I like the large print edition. And it is from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 23. Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing."
A woman does pray a lot. Find grace that births. Dear God, please help Bruce find himself, find contentment, find you. Dear God, please help Bruce. He seems to be struggling. Dear God, give Bruce strength. Dear God, bless Bruce. Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. It's her. Sandy, it's her. She's logging on. She's praying right now.
Who doesn't like control? It's kind of nice to know what to expect. There's no surprises. Things tend to go our way. We control how we dress, where we live, what we drive, who we hang out with, our speech and our actions. We have a handle on the response in any given situation. Yet control never completely satisfies. As a baby, we would cry, and at first, mommy and daddy would come running. But over time, if they ever wanted sleep, they were told to just let the baby cry. If it's fed, if it's burped, if it's in a safe place, if its diaper's been changed, let them cry. But to how many of us was that possible? I'd be the one that tended to go to Malachi or Abigail or Lashane and make sure they were okay. But Denise's motherly instinct was always correct. You see, the baby cried to be in control, exerting its power through their cry for mommy or daddy to come. Then as a toddler, it becomes temper tantrums. They never fail to happen in the middle of the store when a certain item is wanted. We could leave our cart behind,
Or we could leave the store, getting stared at, trying to calm our 3 to 5 year old. Most recently, that was our experience with LJ, who decided he wanted a green tractor book. We were at the checkout line at Lowe's, and we gently told him, no, we're going to put that back on the shelf. But as you can imagine, the tantrum followed. And wouldn't you know, he grabbed that green tractor book and headed to the exit door. What an exhilarating time for mommy and daddy. But that exercise of control was being tested. And then we move into the adolescent and the teen years. Suddenly our parenting skills are somewhat out the door. We think to ourselves, who is this child we haven't met yet? But the power struggle continues. I'm not cleaning my room. I'm not putting dishes in the dishwasher. And the attitude soars through life until finally we think we've made it through those teen years. But as we all know, the quest for control continues. It only becomes a bit more sophisticated, if you will. We see it in families. We see it at work. We see it in the community. We even see it in churches. The video clip from Bruce Almighty we watched just a few moments ago was filmed 10 years ago. Yet it continues to teach us to this day. Prior to this scene, like many people who don't understand God, Bruce rages against the Almighty, blaming him for his troubles, his shortcomings, for his befuddled life. He shouts at one point, "The only one around here not doing his job is you. Answer me." It sounds a bit familiar to that Old Testament character Job, doesn't it? And we know that, in fact, God does answer. He brings Bruce into a one-on-one meeting and invites the complaining mortal to spend 1 week in his shoes, sharing in his powers and responsibilities. And there are only two rules. He can't tell anyone about the deal, and he's not able to influence people's will. At first, Bruce is quite selfish with his power, parting traffic, teaching his dog to use the restroom, which I did find a bit hilarious, humiliating his enemies, getting his job back, and might I add, at an entirely new career level. But with divinity and playing God, unintended consequences follow. Among them involve the fallout in his relationship with Grace. In the end, Bruce gains a better understanding of God, others, and himself. He realizes he still can't fix the most important relationship in his life. He comes to grips with the fact that his girlfriend has been praying for quite some time for him. And it's in that moment where he sees the struggles that she's enduring. And he finally cries out to God, "You win! I'm done, please! I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be God. I want you to decide what's right for me." And there, in the pouring rain, amidst his troubled circumstances, Bruce surrenders to God's will. This morning, if we're honest with ourselves, we're really not all that different, are we? For as long as possible, we maintain control over our lives, over our circumstances, until we come to grips with the fact that we no longer can handle this on our own. The bottom has fallen out and we're at our wit's end. It's then we turn to God and cry out for his help. Most times as we reflect on these moments, we wonder why. Why did we wait so long to seek God in his wisdom, to seek God in his guidance? We know that as Jesus was going away to be with his Father, he promised an advocate, a guide, a comforter. He says this in John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." Then again, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5:16, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." As we travel through life, as we encounter various experiences, we are very much aware of the sinful nature's craving for control. What our mind tells us is that there's power in control. Power for many means strength. We feel like everything's in order. Nothing can possibly go wrong. Day by day, we focus on how we can best live our lives. We have this belief that if we're in control, it guarantees the life we desire. It guarantees the outcome we long for. Where certain advantages exist by having control. We're convinced that if we simply achieve our outcomes, we can create heaven on earth. And as Duck Dynasty's Phil states, be happy, happy, happy. Sadly, our own attempt to create heaven on earth is more likely to create chaos, disorder, and frustration. Ironically, our efforts to control things often causes us to be more out of control. And here's what happens. Instead of getting a message from a God who's consistent in love, acceptance, and care, we're more likely to get this message that we're worthless, we're unacceptable, we're inadequate, we're unloved. There's this tremendous fear deep within us of not having our needs completely met. And as a result, we're driven by fear of failure, being hurt, criticized, abandoned, disappointed, rejected, or worst case scenario, humiliated. There's no room in our lives to be vulnerable. So it becomes necessary to control all areas of our own lives and in some cases, the lives of others. We fully believe if we're not in control, someone else is. And that's too scary to allow. But the turning point is when we realize controlling our own lives and others is not God's design. We begin to feel a conviction deep within that God can and He will fill us with the grace to deal with the pain of living in a fallen world. But thinking we're our own, we become obsessed with getting rid of the reality of a fallen world. We spend much of our day unknowingly focused on trying to fix things. Things that are broken. Things that have the potential to cause us pain. But hear this morning. God has never commanded us to repair the damage of the fall. God has never commanded us to repair the damage of the fall. He simply pleads with us to trust Him one day at a time. Until that day, and oh, how I look forward to this day, He makes all things new. He makes all things right. Our scripture lesson this morning reads, "Do not worry." That's easy for me to say. It's easy for you to listen to. But it's a whole nother ballgame when it comes trying to follow that. If I had a penny for every time I've worried in my life, I'd be a billionaire. But in reality, the longer we live our lives, we realize worrying about our material needs leads to a lack of trust in our Heavenly Father. God knows. God cares about our needs. He's abundantly able to supply them. But this does raise serious problems in light of experience throughout the world. Christians, especially those in very poor parts of the world, do suffer. They do starve. They are homeless. And they experience one hardship after another. Faith doesn't seem to be an absolute guarantee that even the bare necessities will be provided. It would be insensitive for us as followers of Christ who insisted that any fellow believer who is in need must have failed to seek God's kingdom. This passage does not hinder either the need for hard work to provide for one's own family or the magnitude of the Christian making practical provisions for those less well off. There are great stories, many of which we could share here in this church this morning, of how God did provide. But that doesn't excuse us for the great need of followers of Christ to be ready to care for the least of these. So as we take priority and control over the everyday concerns of our lives, the question needs to be asked. Has the love of Christ overwhelmed us? Has the love of Christ overwhelmed us? Often we feel empty, like we have nothing to give. But here's what we're really saying in that statement. If we have nothing to give, we're saying God has given us nothing. Now, I'm convinced we're fully aware of what God has given us. His Son, Jesus Christ, is completely enough to motivate us to surrender control. In essence, when we handle our own problems, we try to control every area of our lives and even of others. We're saying one of two things to God. Either he doesn't love us enough to care, or he's not capable of handling this one. So we'll simply do it ourselves. What we must learn is that there's no middle ground. Verse 23 sums it all up. It says, "For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing." There's only one precise way to say this. God is more than enough. Would you say that with me this morning? God is more than enough. But do we truly believe that? 2 Corinthians 9:8 spells it out for the believer who's lost control of their lives and made it a priority to share abundantly, to give beyond to others, resulting in giving glory to God. It's an act of obedience to the good news of Christ. And it states this in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." I get the fact surrendering to God's will for our life doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easily. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle. We're wired to do things on our own. It's a sign of weakness in our culture to allow a supreme being to guide and direct where we'll go, how we'll speak, what we'll wear, how we'll live, whom we'll associate with. That kind of living won't allow us to fit in to the mold of culture. So I can hear you saying, "Come on, Pastor, what do you want from us? To give up who we've made ourselves into? The long hours, the hard work, the dedication to get ahead in life? You're saying we need to refocus and live for Christ? Evaluate whether our lives are in line with His?" Only you can answer that question. But I can't think of any other greater motivation to surrender control than the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. It's not where we are in life. It's who He is and our relationship to Him. Certainly at times this surrendered life is going to feel quite uncomfortable. But brothers and sisters, we can't begin to imagine the pain of nails pierced into our wrists and into our feet. We can't fathom the suffering from being beaten over and over again. We can't identify with what it's like to be losing our life on a cross for someone else's gain. But the good news this morning, brothers and sisters, there is someone who has. Someone who can. And one who has said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." In surrender, there is an unbelievable power through the Holy Spirit. And we know when we're living in the Spirit, there is complete comfort, complete joy, complete guidance of what we're to do next. It's in Him and through Him our lives move and have being. Christ is all we need. There's an author, unknown, that said this: "There's a life that can never die, a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, and resources that can never be exhausted." That gets me excited. That makes me want to surrender. But the reality is, when we think about it, We don't have control to give up to God. When we think we have control, there's no need to trust God. And consequently, check this out, the more we accept that we do not have control, the more it makes sense to trust Him. Friends, we're not our own. We're bought at an incredible price. But since we try to control, because we think we need things to be a certain way, the solution to surrendering control is this: trusting God for the outcomes of our lives. Instead of believing that our way is the best, we need to trust that God's plan is the only way, and it's even better. Because God is in control, we can trust Him to work things together for good. We don't have to control things because God already has things under control. Believing that, we can relax. Everyone take a deep breath and exhale. What an incredible feeling to be able to know that in this life we can relax and focus on what we do have control over. And we have control over loving our Heavenly Father and loving others. What a beautiful world. What an amazing place we would live in if only we could follow that lead. So the question simply remains, what keeps us from surrendering total control? What we must remember, it's in God's perfect love. There's no fear. So brothers and sisters, might we live a life surrendered to God? Let's pray. Oh God, we confess our need for You. We confess that it's a lot easier at times to just do things on our own. But Lord, oftentimes there are outcomes that we didn't desire. There are outcomes that we would rather not have to face. So Father, in this very hour, we cry out to You that we need You. Lord, we desire for You to take us, to mold us, to shape us into the person that You created us to be. Father, where there may be selfishness, we ask that You would remove it in Jesus' name. We surrender, Lord Jesus, our wills to Yours. And we commit, Lord Jesus, to living that surrendered life. And oh, Lord, how we thank You. How we thank You for the sacrifice Your Son Jesus made. So, Lord, we know that it's often difficult to let someone else be in control. But we want to honor You, Lord. We want to glorify You. We want others to see us. So we pray that we would evaluate and look into our hearts, into our minds, and decide for ourselves, am I in control or am I allowing God to be in control? Thank You, Lord, for meeting us here in this place. May Your Spirit do an incredible work among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Father, we know the life that you call us to is not always simple. It's not always easy. But Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would allow the Spirit to just allow us to surrender to your will, that we would go forth in this world making disciples and allowing others to know you through us as we become your beacons of light in this world. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.